Sound good? All right, we're going to... Okay. So you can bring boxes, you can bring some of those necessary items listed on Facebook, soap, washcloths, you said, toothbrushes, those sorts of things to help fill the other boxes that are going to be filled, okay? And so this is a great opportunity to just reach around the world with these boxes. You know what the Bible says, that a gift makes room for you. A gift makes room for a man. In other words, when you come bearing gifts, people tend to like you, simply put. And they appreciate you, really is a better way to say it. They appreciate a gift. And when you give a gift, you kind of open, you create an avenue there. And so with these boxes, these gifts, it creates an avenue, an opportunity for us to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that goes with that. You've been watching the videos. We have a video this afternoon as well. Not today, okay. But so we're going to have prayer over these boxes. So let me just put you guys on the spot. And if you were here Wednesday night and helped pack some of these boxes, if you don't mind, and just go ahead right now and come up this way while we have prayer for these boxes. And anyone else who would like to pray over the boxes, then you're welcome to come on up and join us as well. And we're just going to pray and ask the Lord to bless these boxes as they go out. Okay. Just gather around these. But this is a small representation. As we said, we packed 234 or 6 boxes, something like that already, and more to come. So it's just a box. It's just a gift. It's just some little things in there that hopefully will be helpful and handy for folks to have. But more importantly, it's an inroad. Okay. And so let's pray that as a result of this work and your kindness and charity and goodwill, that somebody somewhere will be helped to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. David, would you mind leading us in prayer?
Lord God, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity to reach out God, across the seas to other people with your word. And I thank you for the fruit of your word, all the young people and the volunteers that help pack these boxes. Lord, like AT said, it's just a gift, but we pray that it would open the way, that it would open hearts and minds for your word, that your seed might be planted, God might grow and bear fruit. And we pray that whoever these boxes, God, that they would touch them, Lord, and that they might be saved.
Amen.
God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the willingness of the people of this church to do this. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, guys. All right, very good. If you would, at this time, then take your Bibles and find the book of Luke, chapter number 12. Luke, chapter number 12. Today, we want to talk about being ready for the coming of the Lord. And we want to, as a common sort of theme among the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to look at this parable in Luke, chapter 12 today. We want to be like men who wait. Amen? Like men who wait. And now I know all of you men who are married, you're already there, right? You're like men who wait. But in a different sense this morning, we want to talk about being like men who wait. So let's begin reading in verse number 35 of Luke chapter 12, verse 35. The Bible says, let your waist be what? Girded, and your lamps what? Burning, and your... You yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him when? Immediately. Blessed the master when he comes into doing what? Watching. Assuredly, I say, he will himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve, come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have, what? Watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready. Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to Burns Baptist Church also? Is that what it says?
Pretty close.
Pretty close. Do you speak this parable only to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with unbelievers. Father, we pray and we ask that you have your way today with this passage in our hearts. We pray that you use it, Lord. We pray that you'll help me and for your glory and our good. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you, anybody ever have your house broken into? Anybody? Raise your hand. If you okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, a few of us had your house broken into. Any of you? Anybody? You were in the house when it was broken into. Okay, 1. Got to be scary, right? And that's what happens, or that's the idea presented here in this parable. I was reading a story about how earlier this year in Hammond, Indiana, there was a series of burglaries going on. And so the police and the community were made aware, and everyone was warned, you know, lock your doors, right? Be prepared. Be ready because of these this series of burglars. And so in the text here in Luke, look at down at verse number 39 of chapter 12, you see this expression, very important in this parable. Know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken through. If he had only known, right? He certainly would have been prepared. Now this verse, it takes it, this parable takes it as a foregone conclusion that good men defend their homes and their families. Amen? Good men defend their homes and their families. I'm not saying good women don't, but most of you women, you're probably like my wife. Maybe not. But I know this is how it works at our house. It happened just this week. I'm trying to sleep, right? And my wife hears a noise in the middle of the night. Now, I heard the noise too, but I hear it kind of subconsciously, you know. And my mind filters that and says, oh, yeah, that was a noise. Go back to sleep. But my mind, my mom, my wife's, sometimes seems like my mom. My wife elbows me and she says, did you hear that? And I had to think about it a second and review the records of my subconscious thoughts. Yes, I did. I heard something. What was it? I don't know. What does she want me to do? See, she and my subconscious mind have two different ideas about what to do. I think, go to sleep. And she says, go check it out. And so we weren't at home, actually. So I got up and walked down the stairs and looked around a little bit. Didn't see anything. Didn't hear anything. Made my round and came back and went to sleep. Thankfully, no one had invaded the household. Amen? But this parable takes it to it understands that good men naturally are going to defend their home and their household, right? Is it a legitimate concern that someone might break into your house? I think most people at least consider that a legitimate concern. I do know this. Believe you me, there are people who have no thought for your health or your safety. They have thoughts about your possessions, but they're not good thoughts, right? There are people who will force their way into your home. There are people who are unafraid. People who are perhaps desperate because of drugs or whatever else might motivate them. But they will break into your home. Some even knowing that you are home. Now, what are you going to do about it? Well, generally, they're going to break in when you're sleeping. Right? Now, it seems to me if they're smart about it, I'm not trying to give you any ideas, okay? But if you're going to break into someone's home, wait till they're gone. Right? Not home. That seemed like the smart approach. Nonetheless, people do. They break into homes when folks are there. And you don't want to talk about aggravating a fella with small kids. I mean, that aggravates me to no end to think that someone would break into and enter my house when I have small kids sleeping in that house. I can tell you this. They take their life in their hands when they do. And you might think that's rough for a preacher to talk like that, but no, that's biblical. Did you know in the book of Exodus, when God gave his laws to the Jewish people, he said to them, if someone breaks in to your home and as an intruder is killed in that process, no charges should be brought against the person who kills the man who invades his home. And this parable takes this idea that if someone breaks into your house, you want to be ready or prepared for that. Or at least if you were prepared, if you knew they were coming, what would you do? Would you just go to sleep? Would you just not think about it? No, if you knew they were coming, especially if you have children in the home, they'll come and steal your children. I mean, I know it's very unlikely. But when someone breaks into your house, you don't know why they're there. What you do know is that here is someone who has no more regard for the safety of your household, or for that matter, for his own life, than to break into your home and propose either to do you harm or to take what belongs to you. If you knew they were coming, you'd be ready. Amen? That's the basic premise here. If you knew they were coming, you'd be ready. Okay? Now, help me out here. If you knew they were coming, you'd what? If you knew they were coming, you'd what? You'd be ready. And that's really the great theme of this parable. be ready. So it imagines the parable a scenario in which you might could anticipate. And it doesn't generally work like that, does it? Hey, I just thought I'd call and let you know, Grant. I'm going to be breaking into your house tonight, okay? Saw some things I really liked there. Thought while y'all were sleeping, I'd go ahead and take them and pawn them. Okay. Grant's going to say, I'll be ready for you. You know, I'll have the dogs off the leash, right? I'll be locked and loaded. I'll be ready. It doesn't generally work like that, obviously. But if he did know, he would take some measures. But now the plot twist in this parable. Because when we think of someone breaking into your home, that's the setting of this parable. When you think of someone breaking into your home, is this a good guy or a bad guy? It's a bad guy. Good guys don't break into people's homes, right? I told you the story. I tell it to you real quickly so it's not take up too much time. But Scott Pearl, my good friend, was telling me about one night at home. He happened to wake up in the twilight hours, mid-morning, about 3 a.m., I think it was, something like that. And he just happened coincidentally to walk into the living room, just to check the living room out, I guess, while he was up to use the bathroom anyway. And he noticed a dark figure walking through the front yard. And he thought to himself, oh, that's must be one of the boys. I'll hide behind the door, and when they come in, I'll scare them. And so he hides behind the living room door, and the door was unlocked. And in walks this adult-sized figure. And as he's walking by Scott, he realizes, that's not one of my kids. That's not someone who lives here. And this guy walks right into the house, walks over to the couch, sits down, and Scott recognizes him as the neighbor and calls his name. And he says, hey. He says, what are you doing? And he says, oh, nothing. Just going to lay down. And he lays down on the couch and goes to sleep. Tries to go to sleep. Scott's like, what's going on? And rouses him and ends up taking him, leading him back to his own house. Only to find out later that he was on some medication that had him up sleepwalking. Okay. Well, he got lucky, didn't he? He got lucky he didn't get himself shot walking into someone's house like that. But generally, when someone breaks into your house in the middle of the night, it's not a good person, it's not a good thing. And so here's the plot twist in this parable here in Luke. Who is the thief? Satan. That's a great guess. Is Satan a thief? Yes. The plot twist here, though, Larry, is it's the Lord Jesus. That's the plot twist in the parable. That's not our first thought. Are you calling Lord a thief? No, the parable is making this parallel that just like if you knew a thief was coming to break through your home and do you harm, you would be ready. So likewise, friends, we need to be ready because one day the Lord's coming like a thief in the night. And you don't want to be not ready for that. Now, Larry brings up, you know, the most obvious answer, really. Who is the thief? The devil. Be assured. You need to be ready for that as well, amen? Because the devil, what does the Bible say he does? Like a lion. Roaming. He's roaming like a lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. It's his business to kill, to steal, and to destroy and we must be vigilant. We must be on guard. You've got to live, folks, with the reality that there is a thief out there who wants to take from you. He wants to take your joy. He wants to take your happiness. He wants to take your children. He wants to take your marriage. He wants to take your goods. He wants to take. That's his mission. Kill, steal, destroy, make miserable. You've got to live with that reality. I fear and I believe that we really don't live with that reality enough. Now, I'm not saying we're going to walk around afraid all the time, because the Bible says we shouldn't. Amen? We shouldn't walk around afraid all the time. However, the Bible commands us to be vigilant, because we have an adversary roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And so we must be vigilant about the devil. Parents, know this. The devil is after your kids. Now, it's a tough thing to balance. For me, a guy with six kids, seven now, it's a tough thing to balance. Knowing that the devil is after my kids, and at the same time preserving my mental state by trusting the Lord with my children. Okay? But I know the Lord's called me to do my part as a parent. Amen? I'm a dad. God's called me to be dad. Sometimes I have to remind my kids of that. When they get a little aggravated at me for being a little too intrusive maybe, and I have to remind them, you know what, that's part of being a dad. Dads do that. Dads are called to do that. Amen? And so the devil's out, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take everything respectable that you have from you. He'd love to ruin you. He'd love nothing better than to ruin your testimony. But again, the text really isn't about the devil. Now the same illustration, or very similar, is used about the devil, where Jesus said, if you're going to break into someone's house and spoil his goods, you have to first bind the strong man. And in that illustration, Jesus was calling the devil the strong man. And Jesus was essentially saying, yeah, I'm the one who can come and bind that strong man and spoil his house and take from him. I like it much better when the Lord takes from the devil than when the devil takes from the Lord. Amen? And praise God, this house is filled with people this morning who have been taken from the devil and by the Lord. Amen? Praise God that Jesus can bind the strong man. And so here in this parable and in this passage, the plot twist is that Jesus is the thief that we've got to be ready for. The Bible teaches that Jesus is coming. Amen? He's coming. We don't know when. We have no idea, but he is coming. He said in Acts chapter 1, and verse 11, there he had ascended into the heavens, and the disciples are doing what you and I would be doing. Looking up, amazed, jaw dropped probably. And the angel says there to those disciples, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into the heavens? This Jesus who has ascended, in like manner, he will come again. Just as you saw him go into heaven, he's coming back. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And you can't just stand gazing into the heavens. You got work to do. Amen? And so let's get busy. Chop, chop. Let's go. A lot of work to do before the Lord comes. And so the disciples got busy. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13. Jesus says, watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. Like that thief you didn't expect in the middle of the night. You just don't know when he might come. In fact, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 3, if you want to turn there, I found it interesting reading through Revelation and some downtime this week. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 3 to the church at Sardis, he says, remember, now listen, take this as if you're in the church, and you are. And he's talking to churchy people, okay? And he says to the church at Sardis, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and do what?
Repent.
Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a what?
Thief.
So this is at least the third time in the scriptures where Jesus is pictured as that one who, like a thief, might come and break into a house. So he says, you better watch, and you better repent, and you better be ready, because I will come as a thief, and you will not know what hour I come upon you. It is a warning, and it's a warning to the church that we must be ready. Now back to our passage in Luke. And look down at the first verse that we read. I'm encouraging you this morning, folks, to make sure you're ready. Verse 35 says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Girded and burning, folks. That's how the Lord wants you. Girded and burning. Now, what does that mean? What does girded mean? We have a very good parallel to this, and you'll think it funny if you don't think I'm just being a 50. But in the context of this day, to be girded, see, if you're wearing like a robe like they would have worn, right? Then you don't want to trip over your robe as you try to run, hanging on the ground. Understand that? And so you pull that up and you tie the belt, you know, you pull it up and let it hang over a little bit and it raises, you know, so it's not hanging on the ground while you're trying to run. If you're trying to outrun somebody, if you're ready for a race, on your mark, get set, we say, they would have said, on your mark, gird up. Get that out of your way. Pull it up. So you're ready to go. And that's the picture here. Jesus is saying, be ready like that. Ready to go. You don't want the shot to fire, the gun to go off, and your opponent starts running and you just haven't girded up yet. Now bringing that over, as I alluded to a moment ago, to our day, you wouldn't want to enter a race with your pants hanging down, right? Holding with one hand. You heard that comedian said the police in the inner cities, they love this trend. You know, you and I complain. We don't like looking at people's underwear. Any of y'all like looking at people's underwear out on the street? Me neither. I don't care if you're wearing boxers or briefs. I don't want to know. Cover your underwear up. Show some respect, okay? Amen. Wayne's in his 80s. He says amen. I think 50 and up. I'm in that club now. We all say amen to that. We don't want to see your underwear. But the police love it. You know, it makes it so much easier to chase down criminals nowadays. They can't go very far with their pants hanging down. And that's just a current day parallel. You'd want to gird up and tighten your belt. Amen? If you're going to be in a race or if you're going to try to run. And so he says, and your lamp's burning. Your lamp's burning. In other words, like we talked about the parable of the virgins, right? Their lamps weren't trimmed. They didn't have oil in their lamp. And here the idea is, be ready for the Lord's coming. Go ahead, like Motel 6, and keep the light on for him. Amen? Amen. Be ready. When the Lord comes, you don't want to be looking for your lamp or lighting your lamp. You want that lamp to be burning. You want your waist to be girded. And of course, it's just illustration. It's just a picture for us. The idea is to have everything together. Have it together. Amen? Be prepared. Be watching at the door. How many of y'all rode the bus when you was a kid? Now, I don't know about your bus driver, but ours wasn't especially patient. And you needed to be watching and listening. We'd have the TV on there in the living room, but we'd keep the volume down fairly low because we wanted to be able to hear that bus as it rounded the corner toward our house. And we wanted to have the door open so we could see when that bus got there. And we wanted to have our backpack and our books ready so when the bus showed up, you grab and go, right? And you didn't get left behind. And that's the idea here, like a kid waiting for a bus, watching at the door, ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, can I work a little bit with this idea of your house? And just say briefly, but passionately, how important it is not just that you be ready, friends, but that you ready your house. Now, everyone has to make his own decision for Jesus. And it's quite possible you may have children who never decide to give their lives to Christ. And that's a tragedy. And my heart goes out. I can hardly imagine that has been in my life. I try not to fear too many things. I try to do that as a matter of discipline, as a Christian quality, to not live in fear. But I can tell you one of the things that has put me to the test is fearing that my children won't live for Jesus. That's among my greatest concerns in life. We need to be ready for the Lord's coming. And if you love your children and you love your family, you love those close to you, we have a part in at least attempting to help to see that they too are ready. Amen? Do your part. Leverage your influence. Be a faithful witness. Love people to Jesus. Warn people about Jesus. Encourage people to be ready for the coming of the Lord. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24 as we work toward a conclusion this morning. Matthew 24 and verse number 27. Matthew 24 verse 27 and following. Read with me. At least verse number 27, the Bible says, "For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Look down at verse number 30. We're talking about the coming of the Lord. "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." like a trumpet sounding, like lightning across the skies, folks. We don't know when he's coming. We know that he's coming. We're called to be ready so that he doesn't come and we're unprepared. Make sure you're girded and burning. Make sure you're ready for the coming of the Lord. Don't wait. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till you're no longer a teenager. Don't wait till you've lived your life. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. Don't wait for any of those things. You never know. It could be tonight. Now, I know there are some folks who argue theology and different ideas about not only when the Lord's going to come, but if he could actually come tonight or not, if that's possible. I don't begin to get into all of that today, except to say this. Whatever theology that you might espouse that gives you some level of comfort in thinking that you don't have to be ready because the Lord may not come tonight, I would warn you against. By all indications, as I see from the scriptures, we are warned, the disciples and Burns Baptist Church, all of us, warned to watch as if it could happen and to be ready as if we could go tonight. While you're sleeping, friend, tonight, you ever had some place to be in the morning early and you didn't want to get up real early and have to get all ready, so you got ready the night before, right? And you got everything ready so that all you had to do is get out of bed, grab your stuff, and go. And that's how we ought to be. We got to be ready tonight. As you sleep tonight, it could be in the midnight hour that it's too late for you because you didn't get ready. You weren't ready. And no, it wasn't the devil coming in. No, it wasn't a strong man. No, it wasn't an addict coming in to break up your house. But lo and behold, more fearful than all of those things, the thief, the Lord Jesus, in the middle of the night, comes and finds you unprepared. Unprepared. Look back to our text in Luke. Luke chapter 12. Be ready. Make sure you're ready. Verse number 46. What happens to those who are not ready at his coming? What happens? Jumping the gun on me. Stole my fire. No, very good. What happens to those in the church who are not ready? At least in attendance at the church, who are in fact and in reality not ready. Verse 46, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him. What, Larry? Can we make it just a little cooler? He will cut you down. He will come. He will divide you in half and appoint you your portion with who? With who? Don't think it's saying that he's going to take a believer and cut him in half and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. What he's saying here is, if you're not prepared, that's your portion, the portion of the unbelievers. It doesn't matter that you maybe grew up in a home full of believers. It doesn't matter that you attended a church full of believers. It doesn't even really matter that you had some sense of respect for believers, or that others may have thought you were a believer. But if you're not ready, he will cut you asunder and appoint you your portion with the unbelievers in hell. And so I ask you this morning, are you ready? The Lord said it to the church of Sardis. Are you ready? Burns Baptist Church, are you ready for the thief in the night? If you knew, if I could convince you, if you're here this morning and you're not ready, and I could convince you Jesus was coming tonight, perhaps fear alone would move you, would prompt you to get ready. If you knew. But we don't. I can't tell you Jesus is coming tonight. What I can tell you is this. You need to be ready in case he comes tonight. Be ready. We're going to offer a time of invitation. If you're not ready, today is as good a time to get ready as any. Today is as good a time for you to do what you ought to do and surrender your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Give your life to God. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, to come live inside of your heart, to indwell you, and be your Savior. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is an acceptable time. What that means is everything's been done. The gospel has been presented. If you would by faith trust Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, then you can be and will be saved. Are you ready? Stand with me. We'll ask the musicians to come. We'll have a time of invitation. Perhaps there's someone here this morning, and you know it in your heart, that if you knew the Lord was coming,